Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Thunder are rolling through the playoffs. Has this team already surpassed the OKC trio of KD, Russ, and Harden? Plus, what is the breaking point for Jalen Brunson? Why the depleted Knicks will need even more from him to keep going? And the Celtics came correct in game one, but this series is far from over. We'll tell you what they still have left to prove against Cleveland. All that next on NBA Today. Welcome in to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Andrea Carter, subbing in for Malika Andrews. I've got a great crew with me to help hold it down. NBA champions Danny Green, Kendrick Perkins will join us shortly. Senior NBA writer Zach Lowe as well. Gentlemen, let's get right to it.
Why not?
We're going to jump in to Oklahoma City, taking on the Mavs in game one, and the Thunder kept rolling. Some MVP candidates, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, dealing with a bit of an injury. Get you right to the third quarter. Mavs down 72-67. Luka Doncic turns the ball over. Lou Dort steals and passes to Jalen Williams for the dunk. Well, you're laughing, Danny Green.
A little bit of a kickball, but I love the hustle.
Listen,
got to the floor first.
If the ref doesn't call it, it's not a kickball.
Not a kickball. Play on.
The defense made a stand for the Thunder. Later in the third, Thunder going to go up. Luka, 19 points and 5 turnovers, by the way. This is later in the third. Thunder up 77-69. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander pulls up for three. He had himself a night, Danny.
Doing what he does. A regular night for him. 29-9-9. MVP, if you ask me.
Oh, I actually agree with you. Under 2 minutes left in the third. Thunder up 86-73. Off a Mavericks miss, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes coast to coast for the tough finish.
Finish him.
Hang time in the air, takes contact. SGA had his first playoff game with 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
I think we'll see a lot more of that in the future from him.
Early in the fourth quarter, Thunder up 89-79 at this point. This is Chet Holmgren knocking down the corner three.
Oh, it's a party now. Everybody got invited. Everybody was playing well. From him to Wiggins, kept him going, and then Jalen Williams got hot late.
And this is a few plays later. Chet with the cut and the slam. Chet elevates, dominates, and celebrates. Under 8 minutes, Thunder up 99-87 at this point. Williams for three. He got hot in the fourth, Danny.
Like I said, their bench was huge for them. Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins stepped up and waited for him to get hot in that fourth quarter. Then he did what he does at the fourth quarter, making plays, being that 1-2 punch that he is with him and SGA, closing Dallas out.
This was one of the plays he made. Baseline drive, throws it down. Thunder dominate game one, 117-95. Luka, 19 points, 5 turnovers. SGA with 29 points. The Thunder have outscored opponents by 85 points this postseason, the most through the first 5 games of a playoffs by any team since 2016, and the second most in franchise history, behind only the 2016 Thunder with KD and Russ. Zach Lowe, I'm going to come to you first on this one. 5 games, 5 wins for this young Thunder squad. What's impressed you the most as they've dominated so far this postseason?
They are rolling, and this has been sneakily, for all the attention on Shai and Chet and the offense, an amazing defensive team all season. Top 5 defense, wire to wire, a turnover forcing machine, and there are a couple possessions against Luka last night, one of the great chess masters in the league, that made me sit up and say, holy bleep, if we can go to the tape, just a couple of things that show OKC's defense. We're going to start with a simple Luka Daniel Gafford pick and roll on the left side of the floor. Look at Aaron Wiggins and Cason Wallace on the weak side. Here comes Aaron Wiggins. He's on the left side shooter in the left corner. That's usually not his help assignment. Luka tries to fool everyone with a no-look pass. No, the Thunder fool him. Even better, watch this combined defense. Cason Wallace sinks in from the corner. Aaron Wiggins is going to rotate down. They are rotating on the flight of the ball. Crisscross, change assignments. They don't miss a beat. That's an okay shot for Tim Hardaway Jr., but a really good contest for Cason Wallace. These guys are on it on defense, and in Lu Dort, J-Dub, Cason Wallace, and Aaron Wiggins, they have four legit, really good wing defenders, including two of the best in the league, and Lu Dort and Jalen Williams. And when they put stops like that together, I'm just sitting in my room watching on TV going, row, 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 barking right along with the Thunder crowd. It was crazy last night.
That's a great bark. Perk, since you just hopped on with us, can you give us a bark really quickly before I get to Danny on this question? I need a bark from you, Perk. Or a growl.
sound more like somebody that's about to bite. You know what I mean? A dog that's going to bite. I don't know what Zach sounded like just then. It was cute, though.
It was cute.
Be a little bit more aggressive.
The defense from OKC was a lot more than cute, Danny. It was stellar. But there was something else that stood out to you about the Thunder.
Yeah, these young kids, these young groups, I would say, not just OKC, but Minnesota, are showing that they are hungry and they are ready to bite, like Perk just had with his bark. But not their defense is led by mostly their chemistry. You know, to me, their bond, their camaraderie that they have after post games, and it's shown to me, even with, I'm going to say, the lesser of talent, but people would argue Luka and Kyrie are the better 1-2 punch. But even with the lesser of talent, with you know, Shea, Jalen Williams, they have guys like Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, the other Jalen Williams coming off the bench, scoring big, making big plays for them when a guy like the other Jalen Williams doesn't have such a hot start. So when they have them picking up and being in the right spots defensively, it just shows how bonded they are together, how good this group is together. And it just said, reminds me of some of the teams I played with in the past. But that just shows you how big and important chemistry is on the floor and off the floor.
Well, you know, that's what I was just going to ask you, because there are a lot of people that say, you know, they're NBA players. They're trying to feed their families. They've got mortgages to play. Of course they're going to play hard. How much does that chemistry, when you actually like your teammates, how much does that help, even when you're a professional?
Huge, huge. And I think it comes down to coaching as well. And you can see these guys are just happy for each other. They're happy to see each other shine. Doesn't seem like anybody cares who gets the credit. They just want to win. They want to play well. And they want to see everybody have success. And they have a lot of guys on the roster right now for cheap. So we hope that continues, but I'd love to watch it, love to see it. It's exciting, especially from a young group. It's very rare. You don't see it much with a group like that.
Big Perk, don't growl at me when I ask you this question. You were on the last Thunder team to make the finals. How do you think this team stacks up against your squad in 2012?
This team right here, I mean, I'm not gonna go out on a limb and say that they're gonna win the championship this year. Would I be surprised? No, but I got Minnesota coming out of the West. That's another story. But in the next 3 years, you better believe that this team is gonna hang a banner in that arena. When you talk about sacrificing for us being one of the youngest teams in the league, it is a beautiful thing to see. When you watch these guys play agenda-free basketball, when you watch these guys communicate and have the discipline on the defensive side of things, and they're on one accord, it's hard. It's hard to make a young team like this buy in and to believe it into one another. And they could go deep into their bench, and you see the energy from the bench when guys are not playing, right? They're cheering on guys. You can see the post-game interviews where they're all barking together. That's not something that they're just doing to get on social media so that it could go viral. That's something that's really in that locker room. That chemistry is there. And so when I think about the time I was in Oklahoma City with Russ, James, KD, those guys were young as well. Serge Ibaka, we made us some nice runs, whether that was the conference finals or the NBA finals. But we wasn't doing that. That trust wasn't there like that. We didn't have that togetherness all the time like that. And I think that's why you see that we weren't able to actually hang a banner for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But when you think about this team right now, led by SGA and Jalen Williams, I'm telling you right now, in the next 3 years, I guarantee you they're going to hang a banner and win the championship.
Guaranteed.
I really like what you said there, too, Perk. Agenda-free basketball. A lot of coaches are writing that down on their whiteboard for their season, high school coaches, college coaches. They're all going to use that phrase. On the other side of the coin, Luka Doncic posted a game worst plus-minus of negative 21 as he dealt with both a sprained right knee and the smoldering defense of Lu Dort. Doncic was held to just 19 points on 6 of 19 shooting, snapping his streak of 24 consecutive playoff games with at least 20 points. But Luka isn't making any excuses.
Who cares? We lost, man. We just got to move on to the next one. I got to be better. We got to be better. And just, you know, we're known for game one struggling, but we got to focus. They're a great team, great defensive team, great offensive team. So it's not going to be easy at all. We got to play very good basketball and focus basketball for 48 minutes.
After hitting just one of his 8 3-point field goal attempts in game one, Luka has shot 14.3% from three over his last 4 games, the worst percentage over a 4-game span in NBA playoff history with a minimum of 30 attempts. Perk, coming back to you, the Mavs have dropped 5 straight game ones dating back to 2022. They won 3 of the last 4 series, but if Luka and the Mavs want to win this series against the top-seeded Thunder, after dropping game one, what needs to happen?
Well, Luka one is going to have to go hit the speed ladder and go run some hill sprints, because watching that game one last night, it was a lot different than the other game ones. It was a lot different when I watched Luka against the Los Angeles Clippers. The pace, the speed, the athleticism of the Oklahoma City Thunder was just night and day from what Luka was providing out there. And let me say this, Lu Dort is not going anywhere, right? We saw him against Brandon Ingram when they played the New Orleans Pelicans. He is a pest. He is a linebacker out there. He wants the physicality. He is a nightmare for Luka. Luka's going to have to find a way to be more involved with ball screens. Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively are going to have to hold those screens. The adjustment, in my opinion, is not slipping out of those screens, not rolling to the basket, but give Luka an opportunity to get the separation off of Luke Dortz and all those other guys like Jaylen Williams, who are athletic enough but also strong enough to contain Luka where he's not able to go into his back down or whatever the case may be. But it's looking scary. And I picked the Mavs at 7, but just watching that sample size last night, I'm a little bit worried.
Well, I picked the Thunder in 7, so I'm not worried yet. But look, the Thunder are really good, really fast, really menacing. The Clippers, by the end of that series against Dallas, they were old and slow and demoralized. This is a completely different team, and I think Dallas is going to need A-level games from both Kyrie and Luka in the same game, or at least like a B-plus, A-minus, to win any of these games against the Thunder. I think they'll get some of those games. That 14% number you just showed on Luka's threes, that would scare me a little bit if I were the Thunder, because, yeah, he may be hurting. He may be limping around out there. The dude is a killer. He always bounces back, and if he shot 14% from three in his last 4 games or whatever it was, an avalanche is going to come sooner or later. But Perk mentioned the speed, the athleticism, the home court. Another thing that stood out to me tonight, last night rather, Chet Holmgren's combination of length and speed. You could tell the Mavs were like, whoa, this is a kind of a different ball game from us. As good as Zubats is for the Clippers, this guy's on a different level defensively, and you could see them try to adjust and calculate that. They'll be more ready for it in game two. But Chet Holmgren's defense changed the whole feel of that game for Dallas last night.
I think I'm with Perk on this one. I'm going to go with the Mavs. I went probably 6 or 7, but after last night, it kind of makes me second guess my pick. But Kyrie's going to have to be more aggressive, and that's more in the first half, and he has to give Luka some time off. Luka with that knee, they don't need him at 100%, but he has to be at least 85-90% to be able to give them what they need from him. But both of them have to score more, and Kyrie, he's been very explosive in the playoffs this series, in this postseason, but most of it has been in the second half. As you can see, 6.5 points in the first half, 20 in the second half. We're going to need him to be more aggressive and more explosive in both halves, and in the, especially in that first half, to give Luka just a little more rest and to ease that knee into the game.
So Perk is saying that Luka Doncic needs to step up and hit the speed ladder. Danny, you think Kyrie needs to step up. And Zach Lowe, you're just sitting happy because you picked OKC in this series. We will see how it all shakes out. Still to come on NBA Today. Listen, the Celtics are in cruise control, but will it take a star performance from Tatum to take this team to the finals? Plus, Rudy Gobert just took home his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award. But is that enough to make Perk's list of greatest defenders all time? And Jalen Brunson got the best of Tyrese Halliburton in game one. But will Jalen continue to brun sun everyone? You see that, Danny? Did you catch that? Brun sun everyone. Next on NBA Today, we'll get into it.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
The Cavaliers took on the Celtics in game one of their second round series. Boston came in with 5 days off and put on a clinic. They got off to a hot start in the first quarter, led by Jaylen Brown's 15 first quarter points. Boston went on to score 40 in the first. This is their third 40-point quarter already this postseason. That's the most they've had in a single postseason in the play-by-play era. Celtics led 40-34 after the first. Let's get you to the early third. Celtics up 71-60. Jaylen Brown drives down the middle of the lane, throws it down with two hands. Danny, with authority.
Yeah, that's kind of nasty. But this third quarter was the Jaylen Brown and Derek White show. As you can see, he got hot too.
Yeah, and this is Jason Tatum attracting the eyes of all defenders. Finds Derek White for three. Great shot by White. Knocks it down. 2 minutes to go in the third. Celtics lead 84-72. Derek White with the behind-the-back dribble. Pulls up for three. Nails it.
Did not know he had that in the bag. Don't show him everything, D. White.
He said, I got something for you. White's the first Celtics player with 23 pointers in a three-game span in playoff history. Under a minute to go in the quarter, though, Donovan Mitchell showed some fight.
Showing you he's a superstar is what he does, putting his guys back on his back and trying to keep, you know, the fight going, but they just don't have enough.
Donovan Mitchell had 33 points for the game. Now in the fourth quarter, Celtics up 20. Once Jason Tatum gets the ball, look at the defenders. All eyes on Tatum. He finds Peyton Pritchard open for three. Jason Tatum, 18 points in the game. Celtics cruise to an easy game one win, 120-95. The Celtics became the third team to win four of their first six games of a single playoff, joining the 19 Bucks and the 16 Spurs, who both failed to make the finals. But get this. The Celtics now have as many 20-point wins as they've ever had in a single postseason in their illustrious franchise history. Here's Jaylen Brown after the win.
It's going to be tough for a team to have to beat us four times. But as long as we come out and we execute on both ends and we're the harder playing team, I think we'll be fine.
We got a really, really talented team. Shows the depth of our team and you know how we can win games in a lot of different ways.
No Kristaps Porzingis, no problem for Boston last night. Jason Tatum had an off shooting night. Didn't matter last night. Not many teams can go to their second, third, even fourth options and win in a blowout. So, Zach Lowe, does Jason Tatum need to be a star for the Celtics to win it all?
At some point, yeah. It might not be until the finals because this team is rolling through the East. The Knicks are running out of players. The Pacers are young and inexperienced. And the Cavs, I just don't think, have enough to really compete in this series with Boston. But this is the strength of the Celtics. They have a really great player in Jason Tatum. But right below him, they probably have four guys who are among the top 50 at worst in the NBA. That is extreme top-end depth. You throw in Al Horford and you have a recipe for, like, yeah, in the finals, they're going to need all hands on deck, all hands playing well. Until then, they're going to be favored in every series. But I'll say this. Jaylen Brown's right. It's going to be tough for anybody to beat these guys four times in a row. Jason Tatum's right. They got a lot of talent and a lot of ways to beat you. They won one game in this series, and we know what Miami did to them in game two in the first round. Some of that was just crazy shooting, but I want to see the Celtics come out in game two and lay the smack down and say, we're not even wasting any time here. We're not going to get a little chill with this series after winning one game. We are going to take control, and we are not giving it back. That's kind of what this team has been missing in some of these playoff runs, and game two is another shot for them to kind of get that mentality right.
I'm over it. Before this series started, I talked about, you know, us talking about Tyrese Maxey, Big Body Brunson, Anthony Edwards, Luka, the young guys that have been special throughout these playoffs thus far, and the young guys that have, you know, made that powerful statement, right, in those series. And I said before this series started, and I know it's one game, but I said this needs to be a Jason Tatum series. And Jaylen Brown, a $300 million-plus dollar guy, said, hold on, big fella, keep a cool booty now. I got this. So when Zach said, is Jason Tatum the number one option, we want him to be the number one option. But the way Jaylen Brown came out with that 32-piece last night, he was like, hold on, I'm going to be the number one option right now. I'm the one that's going to stand on business. And listen, I always said this when it comes down to this duo. Jason Tatum is that young, like he's that Ferrari in the garage with those shiny rims. His game looks pretty. But Jaylen Brown is that dually, that F-350 that's going to take those big loads across country and get the job done. And so when I'm looking at this Celtic team, do I believe that Jaylen Brown could be the best player on this team and lead this team to the NBA championship? Hell yeah, I do. And he has constantly reminded us all throughout these playoffs as Spurs, because they do have a great team, that, hey, while y'all talking about Jason Tatum and waiting on him to have his moment, y'all better start recognizing me.
Yeah, I'm with Zach on this one. I don't think they're going to need him to play specifically, like, superstar well in the first or the next series. But to get to the finals, whoever comes out of the West, they're going to need him to play at a high level. And if he's not there, they're not going to win a championship. Obviously, they have Derek White. They have Jrue Holiday. If Kristaps Porzingis comes back, he's another healthy body that can give them a threat. So they do have a lot of weapons. When you're coming out of the East and playing against a Western team in the finals, like the Denver Nuggets or the Minnesota Timberwolves, you see what they're coming with. They have a lot of weapons, too. You know, I'm not counting out the Denver Nuggets because they are defending champs. They are down 0-2 right now. I give that to Minnesota a little bit. But if any one of those teams come out of the West, they have a lot of weapons they have to face. And if Boston is not who they are and Jason Tatum's not who he is normally, they're not going to win that series.
Well, so far they've won in convincing fashion. We'll see if Jason Tatum can step up moving forward. But coming up next on NBA Today, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks had the Garden rocking in game one. But if the Pacers want to even this series, what adjustments must be made? And you won't believe how close LeBron thought the Lakers were to beating the defending champions. Do not miss his first comments since getting eliminated. Plus, Rudy Gobert has officially been named the 2024 Defensive Player of the Year, but will he make big perks, big list of big-time defenders? We'll see.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
To NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Knicks lead by two. Brunson over Nembhard. Cash it in.
Garden was rocking. The hefty lefty, Jalen Brunson, was out there dancing on him.
Rips the cords.
Josh Hart came up big. Big Dante, no hesitation shot.
Boom! Knicks played their heart out. That's the way it's supposed to be all the time.
I got to get him fired up.
Look, all
the
way.
LJ.
All the way. It's not.
He hit it! He hit it! He was fouled and he hit it!
New York, stand up. The legends showed up and showed out in game one at MSG. Listen, I still have Knicks fans in my DMs talking about the Sixers series. We get it. You won. We're going to focus on this series and look ahead to game two. The Knicks have a 1-0 lead. Danny, yes. Tyrese Halliburton, that's the Pacers all-star. He has got to find a way to get going in game two. How can you do it?
Well, first they have to get stops. He has to be more aggressive. They have to get out and run it. When they have the better pace, he's scoring more, their team scores more, they're averaging a lot more in their wins and losses. As you see here, 18 points in wins, 10 in losses. But not only just the scoring for him, but the scoring for his team. He gets them more involved. If he can get downhill, get to that right hand, as you can see in some of these clips, he's coming off this DHL, double pick, get to that right hand, collapse the defense a little bit, make the read, find your teammates, open up the floor for everybody, and you know, Miles Turner gets an easy dunk. But for me, I said this is the more important thing. Getting stops, getting out, getting rebounds. This is when they're at their best, and not just with him. But when they get the stop, get a rebound, they're out and running. He kicks ahead, Obi Toppin, you know, he does what he does, sometimes in-game between the legs dunks. But when they're out and running, they got guys like Nesmith, Obi Toppin, T.J. McConnell. They're scoring high clips. They're averaging 123 points a game when in their wins.
They have also, the Pacers, they've got to get Tyrese Halliburton going. They also have to find a way to slow down Jalen Brunson. And catch this out. When Jalen Brunson was blitzed, he scored 0 points per play. That is the worst this postseason. Now, in all other pick-and-roll plays where Jalen Brunson is the primary ball handler, he averaged 1.4 points per play. That is the best this postseason. And that was against the Pacers. So you would think if you're the Pacers, what we might see is them blitz more ball screens. Now, here's what it looks like with no blitz. All right, we get the ball screen action. Look at all of this real estate that Jalen Brunson has to work with. He gets downhill. He eats up the space. That's an easy finish for Brunson. What was it? Hefty lefty. Now, when we get a blitz, Jalen Brunson has to turn his back. His eyes are down. You take your chances with him giving up the ball and someone else beating you. Pascal Siakam with the great contest. That's something that you take your chances with because Brunson has been phenomenal. We get another blitz here on the ball screen. We get a roll. Doesn't happen. Jalen Brunson turns his back. You're taking up time off the shot clock. Shot clock's winding down. You have to get a long launch. Will the Pacers blitz more ball screen actions? They only did it 4 times in game one. I would anticipate.
Hopefully Rick Carlisle's watching you today.
Rick Carlisle, maybe some blitzes. We'll see how it goes. Now, as far as the Knicks are concerned, Mitchell Robinson. They are still dealing with the injury bug this postseason. Mitchell Robinson sustained a stress injury to his left ankle and will be reevaluated in 6 to 8 weeks. Robinson has averaged 19 minutes in the postseason so far. So the Knicks rotation continues to shrink with Robinson and Bojan Bogdanović now out, leaving just these 6 players who have logged over 35 minutes this postseason. It is now time for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN Bet. Game 2 is tomorrow night in New York. So Kendrick Perkins, I've heard you're the official, unofficial mayor of New York. Who wins game 2 and why?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going with the Knicks, and because I got big trust into big body Brunson, right? And we keep wondering, oh, is he going to be able to sustain this level of play? And the answer is yes. Didn't he just join the company of Michael Jordan for, what, consecutive 40-point games? We, you know, last game, a lot of people were questioning Rick Carlisle, and why did he take out T.J. McCollum? You know why? Because you could bang with Big Body Brunson the first, second, and third quarter. But when it comes to the fourth quarter, I looked at that sideline and he was exhausted. So at the end of the day, if I got to put my trust in the Madison Square Garden into one player to take their team to winning this game, I'm going with Big Body Brunson. Be well.
Zach Lowe, what about you? Who you got in game two?
Well, this is why Precious Achiuwa was not just a throw-in in the OG Anunoby trade. They're going to need him now because you can't play six guys. Not even Tibbs can play six guys. But I'm going with the Knicks at home because something magical just seems to happen every single night at Madison Square Garden. And usually it ends with the Knicks and Jalen Brunson winning a close game. So I'm going Knicks until I see otherwise from the Pacers in New York.
I'm going Indiana. I'm going against the grain here. I like what they did in game one. I think the Knicks got away with one. There was some controversial plays down the stretch that allowed them to get the win. If Indiana plays this way, and I expect Pascal to be more aggressive, I expect Tyrese Halliburton to be way more aggressive. They get out and running. I don't think the Knicks can keep up, especially with the injuries, the lack of bodies, and how many minutes they're playing. I see Jalen Brunson getting a little fatigued. I don't see him getting 40 points again in five straight games. So I'm going with Indiana in this one.
Well, if the Knicks win, Danny, you become the Knicks fans' enemy and
sure.
Not me. But everyone can get into the playoff intensity with ESPN Bet. New users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. The official sports book of ESPN is the only place to find exclusive offers from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the playoffs. Download today. Coming up, the now four-time Defensive Player of the Year joins the show. How Rudy Gobert rates his team's defensive performance in their second straight win over the defending champs. Don't miss it. NBA Today. We'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Go hard. You know I had to get one for the collection. I keep it parked out front so everybody can see it. Also, it doesn't fit in the garage. So much horsepower, it should be illegal. Actually, it might be. And the neighbors love it.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are undefeated this postseason, and the wins keep coming. Rudy Gobert was named the Defensive Player of the Year last night, joining Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo as the only four-time winners. The Stifle Tower straight-up stifled opponents all season long, ranked sixth in blocks, fourth in defensive boards, while anchoring the Timberwolves' defense. And look who is joining us right now, the man of the hour, Rudy Gobert. Rudy, thank you for taking some time out to spend with us.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Listen, it has been a whirlwind these last few days for you. You become a dad for the first time. Your team is up 2-0, and you win your fourth Defensive Player of the Year award. We're going to get to all of it, but I have to say before anything, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Crazy days.
Crazy days indeed. We're going to start with the Defensive Player of the Year award because you won it for the fourth time. You're in elite company. Not many people, only two, have won it four times. What does this award say about your game and your presence on the floor?
I mean, it's obviously an incredible honor every single time to win it, but just to be, you know, be able to do what I love to do every day and then doing it at the highest level. And, you know, it was a dream for me to as a kid, like, potentially win one Defensive Player of the Year, but never expected to win four, you know. But when I won my first one, I was like, this is who I want to be, you know. This is who I want to be every single year, and I'm going to keep striving to be the best version of myself.
We've got to talk about game two, because your team gets the win, but you weren't able to be with them because you were having your first son. Congratulations. What was that 24 hours like for you with the game going on and the birth of your first child?
I mean, it was it was incredible. Big roller coaster, but first of all, when we won game one, I told all the guys, you know, I gotta fly home to welcome my son to this world, and I might be back for game two if he's born early enough, I might miss game two, but I know that you guys are gonna take care of business regardless. And you know, every single guy in this locker room just showed support, showed love, texting the coaches at halftime, texting the guys at halftime, you know, and it was, I mean, I was so excited, so proud of the way they competed for 48 minutes and the focus that they had for me watching it from home, holding the baby. It was, it was something that meant a lot, you know, to me.
They definitely took care of business. You know, Anthony Edwards has been a rising star for a while now, but it's like he's taking it up to another level. What have you noticed that's different about him in the playoffs?
I really feel like he's grown a lot, obviously, since I got here, but throughout this season, you know, just his maturity, his understanding of the game, you know, his spirit, the way he just only cares about winning, and the way he loves to see his teammates succeed, and his competitive mindset is it's contagious.
Speaking of competing, Rudy, your fellow countryman Victor Wembanyama won Rookie of the Year. He was second in Defensive Player of the Year voting. How long do you think you can keep him at bay for that Defensive Player of the Year award?
I guess we'll see, you know, but it's a good feeling to know that, you know, potentially in the future, the trophy will be in good hands, you know. And I mean, Victor has been incredible, you know, watching him, watching him mature, watching him, obviously, I've seen the work that he's putting, the dedication that he has, but watching him just get better every single day, every single time I see him step on the court this year, it's been impressive to me, and he's already done some things that have never been done before, but obviously there's no limit, but I can't even imagine I'm excited to watch all the things that he's going to accomplish.
You know, a special season for Wemby. It's been a special week for you, and the Timberwolves have a special opportunity to keep chasing a trophy. Rudy, thank you so much. Congratulations again on your son. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Gobert is clearly in some rarefied air with his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award, but Kendrick Perkins, the question I have for you is, are those accolades enough for Rudy to make Big Perks' big list of big-time defenders?
Well, usually, Andrea, it goes like this. It's a group participation thing. But due to certain circumstances, I have to be selfish. Now, you probably was young or wasn't even born when this shoe was out. It was a shoe with a big Nike check on the far side of it. And you had to zip it up down the middle. And they were called the gloves. Zach, you probably know something about this. Coming in at number five. Bam! Put it up there. GP, the glove. He had this nickname for a reason. You talk about Mr. 94 feet. He was that. You talk about one of the best hands for us getting in the passing lanes, deflections, steals. guarding the best people on the perimeter, standing at 6'3", 6'4". It was Gary Payton, Bay Area's finest, doing what he do best, and he was playing against guys like Michael Jordan, causing havoc, doing what he do. Coming in at number four, people may say I'm being biased, but damn it, I seen it up close in person. When we're talking about one of the most versatile defenders at the big position, a four, put it up there, bam! My guy, Kevin Garnett, KG, AKA the Big Ticket. When you talk about a defensive specialist, a underrated rim protector, a guy that was 7'1", that could switch and play the 1-5 defensively. You talking about a guy who's one of the best denying persons in the league? It was Kevin Garnett, bringing the tenacity, bringing the energy, bringing that level of competitiveness. That's what he done. Coming in at number three, bam, put it up there. I keep him on my feet, and that's Jay's on my feet. I'm talking about Michael Jordan, 9-time all-defensive first team, damn it. Defensive player of the year. When you talk about MJ, yes, he's known for getting buckets and winning 6 championships. But damn it, when you talk about what he did as a specialist on the defensive side of things, the ferociousness that he brought to the table. Damn it, this is part of the reason why he's in the GOAT or considered the GOAT in a lot of people's eyes. Coming in at number two, bam! Put it up there. I know this may ruffle some feathers a little bit, but it should, because damn it, that's what he done. Dennis Rodman, the Worm, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. We're talking about a guy, damn it, that could go from guarding Shaq when he was in Orlando to switching out on Penny Hardaway all in the same series and locking up. When you talk about a guy that was before his time, being able to switch out and guard perimeter players, a monster on the glass. I think he averaged like a career, 12, 13 rebounds for his career. The Worm comes in at number two. At number one, bam! Put it up there. The greatest undrafted player of all time. Do we realize that this man averaged 5 points and right around 9 rebounds for his career? And guess what? He won 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards. Ben Wallace. Did you see him in 2004 on that Piston team? Arguably the greatest defensive team we've ever seen. Guess who he was guarding by himself? A guy by the name of Shaquille O'Neal. One of the most dominant players that has ever played the game of basketball. So again, this is not Andrea's list. This is not Zach's list. This is not Danny list. This is Big Perk's list. This is my list of all time, and they say big time defenders. I'm going top 5 defenders to ever play the game of basketball.
Pretty good list. I like it.
You like it? Zach?
I like it.
Zach, what do you think about the list?
I got some issues, Perk. I got some issues. Perk, you're a big man and you're from Texas. You know who the Defensive Player of the Year Award Trophy is named for now? It's called the Hakeem Olajuwon Trophy, the king of the stock, the steals and blocks. How is Hakeem Olajuwon not on that list? Where's Bill Russell? Perk, I got some issues.
There might be someone waving like this to the list also, Perk, but it is Perk's list. And you also may have just given the Timberwolves a little more firepower, a little more motivation to get the win for their guy who you left off of your list. Still to come, LeBron James spoke out for the first time since losing to the Nuggets in the first round. He tells us how close they were to beating the defending champs.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Best player on the floor in this one.
It's a very, 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 very close margin.
You want to win a championship, you're going to have
the best player.
Ain't no stopping us. We do the impossible.
Every night we see something new.
Drive. Going to have to make a move.
Are you kidding me, Joker?
What a move. SGA.
In moments like these, it's my comfort zone.
Doncic. The step back three. You bet.
Nikola Jokic for the win. Oh!
Yeah, NBA Most Valuable Player goes to.
The MVP award will be announced tonight, so it's only right for us to do a little top of the top presented by ServiceNow with the best plays from the top three MVP candidates. First up, the Joker, starting with his game winner against the Dubs. Pull up, bottom of the net.
For the game, that's tough. That's really tough.
We got to go to, we're going to have a few plays from each. Look how disappointed
First time I see him, Curry. So emotion, too.
Yeah, he was so disappointed. What about the three-quarter oop to Aaron Gordon from out of bounds?
This might be more impressive to me. Throwing a lob from that far is crazy.
Then the shot. Okay, I'll give it to you. And over-the-head dime to Gordon. Perk, how you feel about those?
I don't know if you can hear
it. I actually like it. I love big-to-big passes.
Big to big, the connection. Let's get to Luka. He goes underhand from inside the three-point line.
As you can see, the bench's reaction. They're not happy about it.
Like, there's just no way. How? How? We got behind the back pass in Madison Square Garden.
Oh.
Yeah, the passes are very impressive.
Woo. A little
through
pass fake, too. Through
like,
a blitz.
That happened through a trap. That's crazy.
Hook shot. Triple in crunch time against Brooklyn. Come on now.
Off the glass. Called it.
All right, let's get SGA in here as well. Please check out the handles from the in-season. Woo! Woo-hoo.
This is my MVP.
Oh, come here.
This your MVP, Dan?
My MVP.
Had him doing the cha-cha slide.
May I have this, Dan? A little hezzy, spin move, pull up. Sheesh.
Not many people have a deeper bag than him. Maybe Kai? Kai, probably. The only other person.
And then there's one. You thought you were close, but I left you. Ooh, sorry.
Off the screen.
My goodness.
Took him off the screen. Come on, Trip. What are you doing?
Say it one more time. Who's your MVP, Danny?
SGA.
Okay.
MVP for me.
We'll see. Here's a look at how the three candidates stack up. Luka has the edge in points. Jokic has it in rebounds and assists. While SGA led the pack in terms of wins.
Yep.
Now, someone that won the MVP four times, LeBron James, spoke for the first time after being eliminated on the Mind the Game podcast with our friend JJ Redick and reflected on how he's feeling 9 days after being eliminated. Take a listen.
Where am I emotionally right now? I don't know, to be honest. I have no idea where I am emotionally right now. Obviously, going against the defending champions in the first round is always going to be a difficult challenge. We knew that coming into it. We had so many opportunities, man, and to lose in five, two of them being game winners by, Jamal, his greatness. Yeah, but we had so many opportunities, obviously being up, 20, in game two in their building and losing that game. And I feel like, a couple plays here, a couple plays there. We could have won the series, but the better team won. The better team won for sure.
Perk, what you think?
It sucks, right, LeBron? It sucks. Watching the T-Wolves, the starving T-Wolves team, show you how to do it. For the simple fact that the Lakers are the type of team that they could be in a fist fight and could be winning, and all of a sudden they'll stop and give their opponent a hug. With the Timberwolves, if they're in the fist fight, damn it, they gonna show you. We gonna go up 10, we gonna go up 20, we gonna go up 30. We're trying to cause you bold, which is pain. We're trying to bring you pain and make you tap out, damn it.